broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Saturday Tailgate with Josh Cohen on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Josh Cohen.
Because every day above ground is a good day. It's just that Saturdays are for the boys, and it's Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Worldwide on the ESPN app, just scroll down to live audio, then click on live stations, West Palm Beach, or just tell any smart speaker, any connected device, play ESPN West Palm, and that'll be us on a Saturday morning. We're finishing up the month of July just like that. Brian McLovin-Rowitz, we're July.
I know. I mentioned something.
Final Saturday in July.
Wow. I mentioned something the other day. I was like, oh,
actually, no, there's one more. There's one more. Yeah, there's one more. Yeah, next.
I was like, oh, I have until the end of the year. And they're like, that's not that long. I was like, oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. High school football for you starts in like 2 weeks.
Woof. Yeah, they start practice the 29th. That's a week from Monday.
You have a good time. Have fun with that.
Thanks.
Damian Perez back producing the show today. Remember, if you like the JC thing and you want more of whatever it was that we do, I guess, go to YouTube. People ask, how do I find? Well, show's blowing up. It's doing great. Questionable Call with JC. On YouTube, just search at Questionable Call with Josh Cohen. Hit subscribe. New episodes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And you'll like that show because it's fast and it's stupid and it's kind of fun. Meanwhile, speaking of fast and stupid and kind of fun, Thursday night, Hulk Hogan, you're the wrestling guy.
Mm.
This was one of your childhood heroes, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I once bought a Brooke Hogan CD to take a picture with him.
You bought a Brooke Hogan CD so that you could get a photo with him.
Yeah, that was the deal. Yeah. So if you bought, he was there, she was there. In order to get the picture, you had to buy her CD. So
talk
I had that
about,
somewhere.
Talk about stacking the deck. How brilliant is that of a marketing plan to say, well, people might not want to take a picture with just Brooke.
Right.
They definitely don't want to buy the CD.
No.
So if the carrot dangling is the promise of a picture with Hulk Hogan, so people like you are buying the CD and then doing what with the CD? Using it as a coaster?
Mine, I believe, is somewhere in my garage. It's signed by her. I wonder how much I can get for that today.
He wouldn't sign it?
I don't think so. I took a picture with him. You know, Brooke once called into this station, and I didn't believe it was her.
Yes.
That once happened on air.
Yes. And she was appearing on Evan? Is that what it was for?
Yeah, and like I believe so. Whoever else was in knew that like I liked her. Or
brother.
Or, yeah. But yeah, so I got a picture of the Hulkster because of Brooke.
I did appearances with him a couple times, and he came on the home team a couple of times. And one time was in the middle of a war between Bubba the Love Sponge was waging a war against me and the home team because he wanted my slot, but we were beating him head-to-head in the ratings like 8.5-1.
Okay.
Like in the, it was like literally 8.547-1.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, put me on. And the bosses from that company were like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, you're killing it where you are. I want to be on there, too. Be part of that lineup. And like, well, in that market, you're also on. But he's beating you at a rate of like 8.5-1.
Right.
Anyway, so he and Bubba were tight.
Oh, they are very tight.
Well, they were.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And then there was some proceedings with somebody's wife.
They share things. Yeah, they're very friendly.
I guess. So Bubba the Love Sponge is this fat idiot radio personality.
Uh-huh.
You heard what I said. And so he's on the air. He's huge in Tampa and he's in a couple other markets. And we're going back 20 years.
Right.
This is 2002, 2003. So he keeps talking about me and my show and the home team thing. And I imagine like his audience must have been like, we don't know who that guy is and we don't care.
Right.
Like, not realizing what he was doing.
Right.
So, like, their phone guy called into us while we were live. And my phone guy's like, it's Bubba's phone screener. He wants to know if you'll come on live right now with them. And I'm like, let me do the math on this. Okay. In this market, head-to-head, beating him 8.5-1. What do I have to stand to gain from that?
Right.
I'm not on in the other markets where he is. So, yeah. Again, what's in this for me?
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing. Meanwhile, his audience had to be like, we have no idea who this dude is. We don't care who this dude is. Let it go. So in the height of the Bubba the Love Sponge, Josh Cohen of the home team, one-sided war, or at least the asking the vice presidents of Clear Channel and iHeart, hey, can we get on that? Like, can we replace him in that spot? I'm like, no.
Right.
Hulk Hogan was scheduled to come on the show.
Mm.
And so I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. Because he and Bubba were tight.
Yeah.
Like, Hogan was on the show weekly.
A lot, yeah.
Like, in studio, on the regular. And so we kind of held our breath. And I remember, because what you do is, you know, you got your microphone and you got your computer set up. And then to the right of me is where the phone board was. And it kind of looks like a telephone switchboard. All right. So imagine a rectangular piece of black plastic, almost like a phone keyboard. And there's a row that has 8 buttons on the top and then 8 on the bottom and little red flashing lights. So the top row is to put them on the air. And the bottom row is for the phone producer, you know, the screener,
yeah,
to put them on hold, to talk them on hold and put them in place. And then you get a little note as to the name and then like the town. I wanted to do that so people knew that I was talking. Instead of them going, is it me? And so I remember as I was explaining whatever the project was, who knows what it was, like a hot dog grilling machine, you know, who knows what he was promoting, but I'm saying like, blah, 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 this, that, whatever. And we welcome Hulk Hogan back onto the home. And as I go to hit the button, I'm looking, my producer's looking at me like, we don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
Phone screener is looking at me like, put him on hold? And then the co-host, she's clueless, oblivious, like looking at her fingernails. No clue.
Okay.
And so I hit the button and he just comes out blazing. What you going to do, brother, when 32 inches, whatever the speech was.
24-inch pythons.
Come running for you, Josh Cohen, the home team. And so like he left the Bubba thing completely separate.
Wow.
Total professional. He's there to do a job.
He's a performer.
He's a performer, but he didn't carry over his buddy's nonsense. Yeah. He didn't. But we weren't sure because you never know how that might go.
Like also the fact that he's appearing at a convention and as Hulk Hogan, like that's not his real name.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he's a performer.
That wasn't Terry Bollea showing up. That was Hulk Hogan, a character.
Uh-huh.
So I tweeted at Josh on air. I tweeted last night. It just occurred to me. What if you were in a coma? What if you snapped out of your coma last night at like, I don't know, 9:30 at PM or whatever time it was? What if you had been in a coma from, say, 2015 and you open your eyes and you look up and you're confused. Where am I? Where is this? What in the hell? And you look up and there's a TV in the hospital room. And you see Hulk Hogan wearing a T-shirt, and it's clearly the Republican National Convention. And he's campaigning not just for Donald Trump to become president, but to become president again. But it's not a re-election.
Right.
It's, you know, 4 years after not winning the re-election. And you would say to the nurse, and they go, oh, yeah, Donald Trump was president, and then he wasn't, and now he wants to be again. And then Hulk Hogan is speaking at the... You would say to yourself, just pull my plugs.
I mean, this can't
be real life.
I haven't fact checked, but I'm pretty sure the convention on Thursday night, first time ever, 4 different convention members have taken a stone cold stunner.
Really?
Yeah, 4 at one convention.
That has to be a record.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, wait a minute. Check Truman. Check Truman in 46.
Okay.
Because you never know. What the hell are we talking about?
Uh-huh.
What the hell did you just say?
The 4 world we live in.
Stone cold stunners happened at the Republican National
Convention.
4
different people have been on the receiving end of it.
Take a listen to Hulkamania. Is it ran wild? Isn't that what he says is going to run wild?
Yep.
Yeah. At the Republican National Convention, because my friends, this is real life.
But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States.
Wait, there's that too.
Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
All right, that was Hulk Hogan speaking at the Republican National Convention. I forgot that aspect too, just in case it wasn't surreal enough. So he's talking about trying to kill, they're shooting at. So you got Hulk Hogan, 4-5 days removed from the former president looking to be the new president in an assassination attempt in which a bullet grazed his ear because he happened to turn his head just in time to avoid being assassinated on live television.
Uh-huh.
But in light of the assassination attempt and all of that, you still have Hulk Hogan as Hulk Hogan.
Right.
It's not a somber setting. It's not a serious setting. It is, as they said on Secession, you are not serious people. Kid Rock is giving a concert.
He is.
Like, we live in a surreal world. I mean, to be honest with you, it's entertaining as hell. I can't lie to you. It makes politics so much more interesting.
I've been fascinated for a while now on, as my kids, so my oldest is going into third grade, like, what do the textbooks look like? And I'm sure it'll be digital, but, like, about this last, call it,
decade. But this is the new norm. This, this is the new norm. Ugh. You see the video circulating on Twitter, and it shows Mitt Romney and Barack Obama for the debates of 2012.
Right.
All right. And you see these two men smile, shake hands, be cordial to each other, apologize to each other, argue issues, but there's no name calling, there's no disdain, there's no nothing. And then 4 years later, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, it has a decidedly different tone. And it's hard to believe, like, when you look at the Obama and Romney debates of 2012, it's hard to believe that that's what it used to be. That was the norm. That's what real life used to be.
Well, I've seen it going around. I'm blanking on his name. The dude that made the random yelling noise, that basically disqualified him for being president.
Yeah!
Yeah, that guy.
They thought he was too weird.
And it's like, oh, that can't be president. And now, here's where we are.
This is a new civilization of uncivilized. It is a new world order. No wrestling pun intended.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a world in which you can say and do things you never could before, but depending on who you are and your Q rating, you can get away with it or not. Donald Trump always said that he was bulletproof. Mm-hmm. He always said he could shoot someone in Fifth Avenue in the middle of the afternoon and get away with it. Meanwhile, politically, he's proven to be completely bulletproof. And in this instance here, like, it's just... it's such a bizarre... thank God for sports. The timing of this with the All-Star Game in baseball and sports.
Yeah.
But like the WNBA is fascinating. Summer League NBA has gotten fascinating. Tiger Woods this week was fascinating. But meanwhile, SEC Media Days. How about Nick Saban as a credentialed member of the media?
So weird.
Bizarre.
Yes. Like, I don't get it, and I feel like he's not used to it either.
But he's good.
He is, yeah, 100%.
Some people are cut out for it. Some are not. He's naturally good. I don't believe that Bill Belichick will be good in this capacity.
I agree.
Belichick is a football mind, explaining why you call that play or why you get in that defense, maybe. But Belichick is a personality, like, from a media setting and just BSing. He's not built for that. Meanwhile, you got our old friend, Lane Kiffin. And you got Paul Feinbaum. And let's remember, Feinbaum going in on Kiffin brutally.
Yep.
In fact, the day that Kiffin got fired from USC, got taken off the bus, the tarmac.
Yep, left on the tarmac.
Not even told he could get on the team charter to fly home. Feinbaum was on College Game Day that morning explaining that Lane Kiffin has to go, that he's an embarrassment to the university, et cetera, proving such a case. Kiffin says, "You actually got me fired." Take a listen.
Oh, yeah. When you got me fired at USC, I got myself fired at USC, but you didn't
it's
help.
It's a better story if I got you fired.
You really did. Because it is a true story that the athletic director and the president were on that trip. We were playing that night, and you were on College Game Day, and you had to make your big splash, and they were watching it, because I know the other person in the room that was watching it with them, and you said, what a joke I was, and I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football coaching, and I should be fired, and they looked at each other, and... later that night, I was fired.
Yeah. By the way.
So, hey, look what happened. I would have never gotten to work for Coach Saban. All these other things wouldn't happen. So I appreciate you for helping getting me fired.
They're sitting side by side.
Uh-huh.
There's nobody else there.
Oh.
There's no other analyst. There's no other. So there's two men, one saying, hey, by the way. And by the way, it's amazing because it's a dark background.
Yeah.
There's not like fans. It's just two dudes are like, hey, remember the time you got me fired?
Uh-huh.
The time you embarrassed me? What's amazing is that Feinbaum is like, I have that kind of power.
Yeah.
Like, and meanwhile, Kiffin is saying, I know for certain there was someone else that was watching with them, and you literally were the straw that broke the camel's back of me remaining at USC.
Yeah, but Lane is very big on, like, trying to find the positive, and, like, his resume is very odd and almost backwards, but, like, he's found the positive, and now he might be a playoff contender.
But if that wouldn't have happened, then I never would have got to work with Coach Saban,
right. And
then I wouldn't have had an opportunity to. Meanwhile, listen to this last part, because this is hilarious.
Thank you.
I mean, look at what you're doing today. You're predicted to go to the playoffs. And look at Miley Cyrus. She's had a nice comeback,
too. So you're wrong on that. I mean, you like putting me down with that. So really, I don't really know what you're good at. Like, you predicted that Coach Saban was done. That didn't happen. You basically said Miley Cyrus stinks, and she's still going.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's always great to be ridiculed by Lane Kiffin here at SEC Media.
And that was the end of the broadcast. The credits are rolling,
right.
And they're signing off the air. He said, I don't really know what you're good at. How does Miley Cyrus get dragged into the, like, saying that he's the Miley Cyrus of coaching was an insult then. right? It was an insult then. It was like flash in the pan, teeny bop, too young, you know, reckless. It'll never work. No future. And then Lane says, look what happened to Miley Cyrus. You're wrong about that.
She's the veteran. She's polished. She's at the Grammys, and that's Lane, essentially.
She's rumored to perform halftime of the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
That she'll perform halftime Super Bowl.
So she does Super Bowl, and Lane's winning a national title at Ole Miss this year.
Lane uses it to, right. But Lane uses it to say, you were wrong about me and her. And I don't know what you're good at. And Paul doesn't get defensive.
No.
Doesn't really, because he's a veteran talk radio personality that realizes this is just gold.
Oh, yeah.
Keep this going. I have a prediction that these two are going to wind up working together.
Oh.
That these two are going to be paired together in an NBA on TNT type setting.
Okay.
In a Eli and Peyton podcast kind of game, because what you realize is that there's some real tension. There's still a little respect.
Right.
But this is compelling, fascinating stuff for the dude who just talks and the dude who takes the criticism, who then fires back and has no problem saying, you're an idiot. I still don't know what you're good at.
Yeah, Lane's not afraid to say that stuff. Also, he is amusing. Like, it's very dry, but he is an amusing man. So
he is.
Him on camera is always a win.
And you always enjoyed your time.
Always.
When he was at FAU.
Yes, and like, he'd try to embarrass us, and it would work half the time.
Do you remember the time that I had to? Why did I have to moderate this?
I don't remember why, but yes, and I think you wore non-Adidas was the big deal.
So it was, I didn't own a pair. So Lane Kiffin was the head coach at FAU football, and there was like a Wednesday late afternoon. It was the first time he was like going to meet the alumni and boosters. So at the stadium, they set up two director's chairs, and it was going to be a Q&A with Coach Lane Kiffin. And so I don't do anything with FAU football.
Right.
I don't do anything with any of that. But I got tabbed, like, we want you to go and welcome everyone and do a Q&A. And I'd done some Q&As.
Sure.
It was me and Jim Kelly. It was me and Dan Marino at the Breakers. It was me. I've done them.
Right.
Point is, I'm a conversationalist, or at least I used to be kind of a conversationalist. And so the first thing Lane Kiffin, when I said, good afternoon, everyone, thanks for joining. FAU's excited about the brand new head coach, Lane Kiffin, blah, blah, blah. And the first thing he says to me is, he says, where's your Adidas shoe? and I was like, no one gave me.
Right. Yeah. It's so hard. My most memorable was once we were on the road on a Friday. I bump into him. He's like, hey, would it help you and the broadcast guys to sit in on the team meeting with the coaches? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, we'll be there. So we get there. We sit in like the corner of the room. We don't want to take someone's seat. Lane walks in a few minutes late, and he turns to the strength coach and goes, who the bleep let these guys in?
Come on.
I'm like, no. And then he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Like,
did he tell y'all to leave?
No.
Oh, he let you stay.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He was like pulling our leg. So he thought it was so funny.
So when I was, beforehand, they go, we want you to meet Lane. And so normally you say, hey, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, you want me to ask you about anything? Okay, no. It's all good. He was so nervous.
Yeah.
He was so awkward. It was, the vibes were like, it wasn't that he didn't want to do it. He looked terrified.
Right.
So he's making me nervous. And then the first thing he says is, where are your Adidas?
Right. Once the lights are on, he's ready to go.
And I literally said, I own one pair of sneakers, coach. And these are the ones. But if you guys want to get, but that's how they opened it.
Right. Hey,
and God rest his soul, his father was standing there. Monty, meanwhile, Tiger Woods missing yet another cut in yet another major. Remember what he said earlier this week? In case you didn't know. By the way, Tiger, 14 over. He's now either missed the cut or had to withdraw in 6 of the last 7 majors that he's played. It is his worst Open Championship score in the 23 starts that he's made in his career. It was earlier this week that it was brought up, Colin Montgomery, the old AKA Mrs. Doubtfire, that he had said in an interview, like, why is Tiger going to play this? What is he doing? You know, like, he's going to embarrass himself. Kind of did.
Yeah.
But listen to what Tiger had to say. Listen.
Last week from Colin Montgomery, who said, why is he here? He should retire. There's no point to this. Do you feel that's a bit hurtful and you've earned the right to you make the decision when you decide?
Well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt.
Wow.
So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
He doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do. Not only can you, Colin Montgomery, not decide what I should and shouldn't do, you can't decide what you want to, can and can't do.
Right.
Because you never want it, so you can't do it. You heard reporters laughing. Tiger wasn't smiling.
No.
Tiger wasn't laughing. He was putting it down. This isn't preferential treatment.
Right.
This isn't a favor being called in. This isn't because I'm Tiger Woods. I earned this, just as anybody else who ever won this has earned this. So maybe, just maybe, he should study up.
Yeah, I don't understand anyone in the world of golf having the nerve to tell Tiger, hey, maybe you should sit this one out. Like, no, if Tiger wants to play till 60, let him play till 60.
To be fair, we never heard the sound of exactly what was said, and more importantly, how it was said.
Fair.
But Colin Montgomery did tweet and say, writers, if you want to quote me on something, just ask me.
Right.
You know, because you're taking something from an old interview out of context, and now it's being used for this. Tiger, by the way, finished with these last few words. Listen.
That's what I mean. You've earned that. You've deserved that.
So when I get to be at his age, I still make that decision. Well, he doesn't.
Next question here.
There was just another, when I get to his age.
Right, right.
And then he did a really hard blink. And it's on Questionable Call on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Go to Questionable Call with Josh Cohen. Hit subscribe. And then watch the episode from Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday's episode. Tiger's nonverbals clearly indicate disdain. You know, there's disgust.
Right.
There's disdain and contempt. To give you a similar parallel, if you remember what happened when Brooks Koepka was being interviewed and Bryson DeChambeau was walking behind him,
yeah.
There's a long-held blink. Tiger was verbally communicating with us, speaking about, I get to make that decision as a past champion. He doesn't until I'm 60. But then in this spot about when I get to be his age, meaning 60. And by the way, Tiger here is coming up on, you know, closing in on 50.
Yeah.
In short order. He and I share a birthday, mind you.
Okay.
December 30th.
Yep.
Is a magical day in birthdays. Sandy Koufax.
Uh-huh.
The LeBron James.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
The Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And then there's me.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. Some of those guys did pretty good. The other guy's sitting here with you right now.
Yeah.
Which is fine for me.
Yeah. Tiger's not sitting here, nor LeBron.
No, he's not. There was disdain in Tiger's voice. There was the idea of how dare you question, not just because part of it is, I get what you're saying. I've lost a step.
Sure.
And I think the world knows that. But let's not make it seem like I'm here because it's a popularity contest.
Right. And also,
I earned the right to be here.
It probably bothers Tiger that he's, you know,
of course it does.
Slowed up and isn't as good as he used to be. Like, it bothers him, I'm sure, to miss the cut every single major.
We were on the air that afternoon when the accident story broke. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the vehicle and they described the injuries, I said, you'll never see Tiger Woods play another round of golf again.
Yeah.
When they talked about the injuries, I thought for sure there was going to be amputation.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be amputation. There wasn't, knock on wood. The man walks fine. He swings fine. But the fact that he's even still, I thought he would never let us see him. I think
right.
I said that. I think I said, I don't think Tiger will ever let us see him being what he knows is so far removed from what he was.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it sucks to see him like that. I'm sure it bothers him. But if he ever gets hot one weekend, boy, that'll be a fun story.
2019 was before the accident.
Right.
But still, 2019 came, the Masters came out of nowhere.
Yes.
I was at Tortuga, the country music festival. And, you know, that crowd at Tortuga, which is a giant it's Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night on Fort Lauderdale Beach. It looks like a Republican beach convention.
Okay.
Between the flags and the t-shirts and the hats and the banners that people carry. And I'll never, ever forget being there as these people that had t-shirts on that said, you know, certain things and flags and hats were huddling around others' phones, all watching. And then I went to the Bee Ocean Resort, which is right next to, I was staying at the hotel, right behind the main stage. And there's a lobby bar. And there was probably 85 people that were all crowded, craning their necks to watch Tiger Woods. All cheering for it.
Right.
And it was such a remark. It reminds you. I mean, you've been around Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around Tiger. You look at the people. No matter who else is in the room, doesn't matter. Tiger Woods is a UFO.
Yeah.
For the people that have seen it, oh my God, I did. For those that never, I want to. All eyes on him. It's staring. All phones are up. And they can't believe it's him because he's larger than life.
Yeah. I mean, go to a tournament at PGA National when he's playing in it, you would always be able to tell, like, oh, there he is. Like, yeah. Just the mass humanity of people just following him was always amazing to see.
It looks like Tiger Woods is like one of those youth soccer games when the kids are 4 years old. Just a mass of people moving all together.
Yes.
There's no discipline. There's no...
Nope.
I remember him playing then Honda Classic, now Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches a few years back. Probably the last time he played. And I'm in the little media area, and Rory is standing there, and Rory's answering questions. Rory's a big deal.
Yeah.
Rory's a multiple-time champion. Rory is also locally one of ours.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, while Rory's standing there and question, Tiger walked out, and he gave a little head nod to Rory, and he went over to the other side. And literally, people that were asking questions of Rory just stopped and turned away. And I remember Rory just like shrugged his shoulders, he shrugged his shoulders and gave the, I don't know. Right. And I looked at Rory and I think I was the only one who was still engaged with him. And so I had to give him the, hey, everybody's going this way.
Yeah.
And so we turned and went that
way.
That's
how it goes.
That is how it goes. Unbelievable. Coming up, when we return, we talked about Nick Saban. He had a moment in which he learned what it's like to be like the rest of us. Talk about a humbling realization of what life is like when you're no longer that guy coaching that program. We'll hear exactly what that was from Coach Nick Saban. Plus, he's also getting what named after him? There's news breaking, and this is remarkable, but a little bit at the same time, like, are you sure y'all want to do that? We will find out what that is coming up next. First, though, Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys, reminding you to take back control of your life. If you were involved in car accidents, truck accidents, maybe a slip and fall, trip and fall, maybe got injured on the job, you have workers' comp issues, just call Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys, 1-800-747-FREE. Not only do they fight for you, they fight to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. But remember, they do not get paid unless you get paid, not a cent. You don't owe them anything unless you get paid. You'll always talk about your case with an actual attorney. Call 1-800-747-FREE. They answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you'll always talk about your case with an actual attorney. Anajar and Levine. Accident attorneys. 1-800-747-FREE. 800-747-3733. Take back control of your life. Nick Saban finding out what it's like to be a civilian like the rest of us. You'll hear from him coming up next. It's Saturday Tailgate with JC on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate with Josh Cohen on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Josh Cohen.
It is Saturday Tailgate with JC alongside Brian McLovin-Rowitz, Damian Perez on the twos, ones, and fives. Because we don't have ones and twos, turntables.
No, not quite.
Got equipment like that. On this Saturday, July 20th, the 55th anniversary of man landing on the moon. Don't ask me what I remember. I wasn't alive, jackass.
TV dinner?
I wasn't alive. No, thank you. Coming up in just a sec, Nick Saban, learning what life is like for the rest of us. We are inching towards college football, and this show is going to be completely different when football season is actually happening. I cannot wait. First, this reminder, Saturday morning, get your head right, get your energy right, get a busy day, maybe get a little honey-do done. Celsius essential energy drinks, a bajillion flavors, sparkling and flat. Celsius is made with the good stuff, none of the bad. No crash, just sustained energy. Get your mind started, your body moving. Some people enjoy a Celsius before they work out, like Tina Bina. Get Celsius anywhere and everywhere, cold cans, and also and convenient powder sticks you can take with you anywhere and everywhere. Celsius, essential energy drinks, live fit. SEC Media Days. Notice we didn't send C-Cat there, did we?
No, they had that one covered.
No, he went to the...
Big 12.
Big 12.
Yep.
Which is still a great conference.
It is, yeah. They have Prime.
They had... Right. Did C-Cat... I don't know. Did he get any FaceTime?
No, he left before Prime spoke.
There you have it. Nick Saban, remember... no longer coaching college football, no longer the man at Alabama. Instead, now a member of the media working for ESPN. Nick Saban telling a story to Greeny earlier this week about being at SEC Media Days and not having his credential, you know, that lanyard that you wear that has your name and your picture on it and sometimes a barcode that gets scanned that allows you to belong inside the ballroom.
Right.
Take a listen.
It's a little different. I've never worn a credential in my life and was always for 17 years able to get into SEC Media Day without a credential. I had to go back to the room today and get my credential to get in. So that's one of the biggest changes I see. It's not like it used to be.
And they talked to the kid. And by the way, he's a kid.
I'm sure.
That was like the security guy. And I think he was a college football player himself.
Oh, okay.
And he said, yeah, no, that's my guy. He said, I know who it was, but the rules are the rules. So it's not a case of like some old, because you think it's some old fat dude.
Right.
Who's just a little power hungry. And right. He's probably like, you know, somebody's brother-in-law who's part of the committee and part of the conference. And so I get to, you know, be, and they're a little overly zealous.
Right.
This was a young kid who was like, yeah, no, I knew who he was, but the rules are the rules. He was like, rules is the rules. And so I told him, like, you got to get your... So Saban said in his life, which is not true.
Right,
there's no way he's... He's exaggerating a little bit, but the point is how things change from entering with a state trooper in front of you, a state trooper behind you, two security guard conference alongside you, and then just being like, okay, see you in the elevator.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I love him on this side. I saw this tweet this week, Chris Hummer. He asked Bama guard Tyler Booker about Saban picking Georgia, Texas to play for the SEC title.
Yeah.
And he said, quote, Saban always said, don't let some guy who lives in his mom's basement determine how you feel. I'm not going to let a guy who plays golf all day determine how I feel.
Wow.
So they're not scared of him anymore.
Yeah, no. He's not Nick Saban anymore.
Right. It's just some guy, just a media dope.
So according to the story, and this I just saw, I guess, Thursday, they are planning on naming the field.
Wow.
At the stadium, Nick Saban Field at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Right.
Right.
Brian Denny.
I'm sorry. Auburn, Alabama.
Oh, yeah. You upset those people.
Careful. That's going to kill me. Naming the field after Nick Saban. Good idea?
No.
Why?
I feel like it sucks for that current day. Because I think about at Florida State, when Bobby Bowden stepped away, he made it a point that he was not going to go to any games the next year. He did not want to be around the program because... he didn't want to be looming over Jimbo.
But didn't he also get kind of forced out?
He did, but he still was like, hey, Jimbo was coaching waiting, so he knew Jimbo was going to be next.
Right.
And that's just such a big shadow to cast.
Wouldn't it be different if, in fact, Saban didn't want to leave or was 10 years younger and might take a... because the most awkward thing is when you name the field after the guy.
Right.
Then he comes back the next year, coaches someone else, and then beat your team on the field named after him.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out yet. I know he's older.
He's not coming back.
For another year or two?
He's not coming back.
But, like, if you're DeBoer, you lose three games, and, like, that Bama fan base is like, I don't know. We might need someone else.
I can tell you based on the nonverbals,
okay,
let alone the verbals. The nonverbals of Nick Saban say, I'm done with that.
Uh-huh.
And, by the way, that does not mean coaching college football. It means name, image, likeness.
Well, that's
TikTok,
fair.
Instagram, all of the nonsense that is. He's not doing it. He's enjoying doing this media.
Right.
That you can tell. But it's not like he's going to take the job at Mississippi State and then come coach them on his field at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's so different now. If you're a college coach, you used to recruit someone. You're like, all right, I got this kid for 4 or 5 years. You have to start over every year now to fill holes.
Every year.
And recruit the guys that you have. It is a circus.
The old way was not the right way.
Right.
The new way is also not the right way. There's got to be a way that just makes sense.
Yeah, we haven't hit that middle ground yet. Because it sucks also, like I see it on the high school front, where if you're not that 5-star, you don't get recruited anymore. Because like, oh, I can get a kid that's been in college for 2 years, I'll get him instead.
Wow.
And so many kids just don't get the same recruiting and offers anymore.
So a lot of high school kids aren't getting opportunities because what they're saying is we can just steal a kid from another program that's proven that we know.
Right. That's been in a college weight room and all that stuff.
So we're never interested fully in developing the future.
No.
Because the future actually is now.
Yep, 100%. Like there's no, and if you're a coach, you don't have time to develop anyone anymore. You have to win now.
I hate it.
Yeah, it sucks.
I hate it. and you spend time with, because you run, for those that don't know, ESPN West Palm Play. McLovin, Brian here, runs that. And then you do all the stuff in the high school space.
Yeah.
These, so you're hearing from the coaches or the players?
All the above. Because like we see it on sign day where it's like, hey, I'm hoping to get this and it doesn't happen. I remember we covered a story a few years ago where a kid was going to Clemson, had an offer, was ready to go sign day. The night for like, oh, actually, we just had someone come in. We don't have a spot anymore.
So it means really just the top 20%. Okay, that's where you get your five-star.
100%.
So what if you and I start a new company?
Okay.
And then we give out 6 stars.
Wow, okay. And then try and get them recruited that way? All right. They'll be on to us at some point, though.
Whose system is the five-star
system?
That's
all this recruiting is, though. It's all here. Josh Jacobs tells a story. He had zero offers. A Bama coach came to his game. He's like, told Saban, hey, we need to recruit this kid. And Saban's like, he has no offers. Why am I going to offer him? He's like, I'm telling you, we need to recruit him. Saban offers him, and all of a sudden, he had 40 offers after that. Because they're like, oh, well, if Saban's going to offer him, we're in.
So in this society, we talked about in the first segment with the convention and such, we can just make things up.
Yeah, 100%.
So you and I are starting a new company called Six Star.
Okay.
And Six Star is the new premier scouting and information. And then we play middle ground, but we also are marketing. We're also a marketing agency that then handles name, image, likeness for these kids.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I mean, some of these kids already fall for stuff like that. We won't charge anyone because that's where they usually get trapped. The amount of times we see that is awful.
I hate what's happened.
It's so bad.
To college sports.
Uh-huh.
It just used to be college basketball, one and done.
Right.
But now it's like, not like the kid who caught Isaiah Bond, right? Isn't the kid that caught the touchdown on the 4th and 23?
Yeah, okay.
He's not Alabama this year.
Oh.
Now he's... How are we supposed to know? Is that why the video game came back?
I guess. I heard an interview recently, and they were talking about Riley Leonard, the Duke quarterback, and it was with the coach, and they hadn't reset yet. He's like, oh, I'm happy to have him here. I was like, wait, where is he at again? Apparently, he's an Notre Dame starting quarterback this year.
He is.
Yeah.
I saw him on television last night.
Okay. So, but, like, I didn't know with the Marcus Freeman interview when I was listening to it. Like, I feel like I need a whole refresher before the season starts.
I feel like this is a big mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
This wild, wild west is because – You can't. I mean, obviously, this is no longer amateurism.
Right.
It's no longer college football. It's just these kids for right now with this university, but there's going to be a complete reset.
I feel like the reset will happen once we see guys that don't go to the league. Because if you're a college star and you make, call it $5 million in 4 years, maybe you say, you know what? I don't need to get my brain rattled in the NFL. I'm good. And just done with football at that point.
Play for a couple years, make a few bucks,
yeah,
and then get a little financial advisement, and off you go.
Yeah, because at that point, they're
retiring after college.
Wait a minute, you can't do that. And then all of a sudden, they get involved, and maybe that's where it is.
Yeah, but you know how this generation is, and they're competing with each other, not just in dollars, but also in Instagram followers and in YouTube subscribers. Speaking of which, subscribe to Questionable Call with Josh Cohen on YouTube now. New episodes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's what the new show is. That's where you find us. Meanwhile, speaking of the transition to the National Football League, Lewis Riddick, who was a player and then a front office personnel, scout in front office, I guess you'd say personnel, unpersonnel. What's the term on that? He's personnel.
Yeah.
Because he's team personnel,
right?
But he works in personnel.
He does.
It's a little meta.
Okay.
Lewis Riddick telling Greeny, he's tired of all the Davante Adams to the Jets, this guy to the Jets, all this Jets talk, for what? Because training camps have been fully open? Listen to Lewis Riddick earlier this week.
I mean, why not? Why don't they just try and get everybody? Just ask every team, hey, can I have your best player? Can I get your best player? You know what? We spend so much time talking about, listen, how about the quarterback just stays healthy? How about they just protect him? How about he just stays on the field for 17 games? How about they just do that? All right, how about Greeny, I'm tired of your team, to be honest with you, dude. I'm tired of talking about your team.
I'm tired of talking about your team, man.
Yeah. They're fine right now. They're fine. Just let them play.
We don't
just
need
let them
fine.
Play. I think
fine.
I actually think they're good enough right now to compete.
Hold on a second.
What the hell did you just say?
What the hell did you just say? Today is being presented by the 2024 Boca Raton Bowl. The 11th year, FAU Stadium. We got a new date. Wednesday, December 18th. Two of the best teams from the group of five battled out for their shot at the title. All the information's online at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow on Twitter at Boca Bowl and at Facebook. Again, 2024 Boca Raton Bowl, Wednesday, December 18th. Brand new date, just moved from FAU Stadium. And that will be live on ESPN, the Uno.
That's right.
If flagship once again. What percentage of all of this nonsense is Aaron Rodgers, and what percentage of it is the Jets? It can't be 100% one. We know it's not 100% Jets.
Right.
What percentage of this is because it's the Jets situation, and what percentage is all this nonsense because it's Aaron Rodgers?
Like 65% Jets.
65-35.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe 70-30.
Right.
65-35.
Because it's the Jets. Rodgers says it. It's also the time of year. There's nothing going on. Right. So,
but if Rodgers had gone to, say, Jacksonville, and there was no Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
It would be still Rodgers related, but it's not the New York Jets.
No, it's not a long story we're talking about all the time. Right.
I mean, the Jets won a Super Bowl. We're talking about today being the 55th anniversary of Man on the Moon. The Jets last won a Super Bowl before we did that.
Okay.
Before we did that. It was January of 69.
And haven't even been to one, right? Even since then.
No.
Yeah.
No, never been to one.
So maybe Rodgers.
Had a chance, had a 10-0 lead in an AFC championship game in Denver, if you remember that. Do you remember that?
No. I mean, Sanchez went to what? Back-to-back AFC title games.
Yeah, but they weren't. I mean, they look like they might beat those Broncos.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm sorry. It wasn't the Jets. That was the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm thinking of Mark Brunell and the Jaguars almost going. Yeah. In the second year of both the Jags and the Panthers, they both went to conference championship games.
That's insane.
It was Mark Brunell for Jacksonville and Kerry Collins for the Carolina Panthers. Which is insane. The Jets is going to be a story because Aaron Rodgers, but also the Jets thing. But thank God that camps will open. People will get hurt. Well, not thank God for that. But thank God there'll be football stuff. But like we talked about last time, this is much more fascinating if the Jets start 1-5 than it is if they start 5-1.
That being said, as a Raiders fan, I hope they don't trade Devontae to the Jets, but it does sort of make sense to trade Devontae to the Jets.
Yeah.
You could probably get a lot there.
I heard your boy Brock Bowers showed up at, was it Michael Rubin's party, some celebrity type of thing. And he was wearing a team issue Raiders polo and coach's pants and the team issue coach's sneakers with the Raiders logo on them.
Okay.
Because he looks like the strength and conditioning
coach. Yes, he's a large human.
But he is... He's not wearing drip and going fashion. Ryan Clark was telling a story that he literally thought, is that a graduate assistant? Right. Like, what the hell? And when he got to Vegas, he said, can I see the field?
Yeah.
Can
he's
I see
there
the
to play football.
He's there to play football.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that he got drafted one spot beyond my bet. It cost me $400.
Yeah, that was a weird draft.
Who took somebody? What was the surprise pick?
Penix.
Oh, that's right. Michael Penix gets drafted by Atlanta, ruins the draft. So I had Brock Bowers inside of the top 12.
Right. So Penix goes, so then Bo Nix has to go 12 to Denver.
And he goes 13. It's dead. Right. Freaking killed me. All right. Coming up when we return, you got a little quick little wrestling recap, don't you?
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then we'll get what's on tap. First, though, Andrologix, West Palm Beach, treating and beating low T for over 20 years. Gentlemen, listen to me. We don't move the same as we did. We don't do a lot of things the same way that we did. And that could be a testosterone issue. They have improved the lives of thousands of men, just like me, just like you. You're looking to build lean muscle. You actually can at your age with the help of Andrologix and the help of testosterone here. Listen to me. Reducing body fat, boosting energy, boosting your libido, sleeping better, sharpening cognitive function. For some people, that means just a little more confidence, sense of well-being. Hell yeah. Wouldn't you like to be able to perform from the boardroom to the bedroom like you could when you're in your mid-late 20s, early 30s? Of course you would. Bad news, though. You see commercials on TV with former baseball players talking about this miracle supplement and get a free trial and all that. The reality is, it doesn't work. Because if it did... the multi-billion dollar industry of testosterone replacement wouldn't have to exist. Now, would it? You would just get a little supplement. That's the bad news. The good news is Andrologix's been treating and beating for over 20 years. Science, not promise. This is proof, not promise. Do not wait to get started. By the way, doctors will customize the plan for you because everybody's different. It's like a fingerprint. No two men are exactly the same. You're going to go to the site. You're not searching. You're not going to Google. You're not searching. Go directly to the website, trt.today. Not .com. Not .com. trt.today. trt.today. That's TRT is in testosterone replacement therapy. TRT.today. Go to the site. Andrologics. West Palm Beach. Because experience matters. Saturday Tailgate. JC McLovin on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate with Josh Cohen on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Josh Cohen.
We are cruising on a Saturday morning, 20th of July. NFL training camps open. We're about to get into all football. Cannot wait. Speaking of road tripping, St. Lucie Battery and Tire. Total Car Care Centers. There's now 18 locations from West Palm to the Treasure Coast. Here's why you would use them. Not just for batteries, for any and all vehicles, from golf carts, side-by-sides, jet skis, everything. Tires for all your vehicles. Oil changes, wiper blades, major, minor service and repairs. Here's why. Family-owned, family-operated. Home of Honest Reliable Services, 1970. They're not looking for things that are wrong so they can charge you and pad your bill. They're looking to make sure things are right, so they can save you money and allow your vehicles to last longer, run better, save you money ultimately, because it's your second biggest investment. When you take care of people and you do right by them, you know what they do? They come back. And they also vouch for you and tell other people. I had lunch with the fellas not long ago. Tell me, employees oftentimes out and about wearing their work shirts because they're proud of where they work. They're proud of being part of St. Lucie Battery and Tire, SLBT.com, because of how good they are in and for the communities. Go to SLBT.com. Relationships matter. Taking care of people matters. SLBT.com. St. Lucie Battery and Tire, the home of Honest Reliable Service since 1970. Did we miss anything in wrestling this past week, Brian?
MJF Ospreay, 1 hour on television Wednesday. An amazing match.
It went for an hour?
59-58, yep. It's like Two men, back and forth.
Like this. Well, hold on a second.
Oh, wrestling.
What the hell did you
Didn't
say?
Didn't clear it up either. No. Here's what's on tap real quick. Mets at Marlins, 4:10 today. Inter Miami, Chicago Fire, 7:30. We're in the 2-minute warning, obviously. And then you got WNBA, Team USA versus the WNBA All-Stars.
Clark and Reese on the same team.
There you go. You got Mike Perry and Jake Paul tonight as well. Okay. And a UFC fight night. Also, subscribe to the new show on YouTube, Questionable Call with Josh Cohen. Hit subscribe on that. And kids, remember, while every day above ground is a good day, Saturdays remain for the boys. Have a great week. We will see you back here next Saturday at 9 a.m. So long, everybody.